From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jim Howard. President Obama has apparently signed off on a plan to increase aid to Syria's opposition. The Associated Press is reporting that the president has approved a plan to provide communications equipment and medical supplies to Syria's nonviolent political groups and not to the armed rebels. Activists in Syria say at least five people have been killed today in massive anti-government demonstrations on the heels of the ceasefire agreement. President Obama made a stop in Florida today on his way to the Summit of the Americas in Colombia. From member station WUSF in Tampa, Susan Giles-Wantuck reports.
This is the president's second campaign stop in a week to the crucial swing state of Florida. During his quick visit to the port of Tampa, Mr. Obama said rather than being a nation of consumers, we need to get back to our manufacturing roots.
Shipping containers left ports like this packed with goods that were stamped with three proud words. Made in America.
As he heads to Cartagena for the Summit of the Americas, the thorny issues of immigration policy, Cuba, and drug policy are likely to hang over the discussions between the president and South American leaders. For NPR News, I'm Susan Giles-Wentuck in Tampa.
The UN Security Council held a closed-door meeting today to discuss North Korea's failed rocket launch. The world body says the attempted launch violated two council resolutions concerning testing for nuclear and missile technology. Council members would not say whether or not they are considering more sanctions against North Korea. On two previous occasions, the Security Council has imposed sanctions after North Korea conducted nuclear tests. The rocket broke into pieces shortly after liftoff. Banking giant J.P. Morgan Chase says its profits improved during the first 3 months of the year. NPR's Jim Zaroli reports that the bank attributes the improvement in part to a stronger economy.
J.P. Morgan said its profits were down 3% from the year before, but its overall revenue was up. The company said its revenue from investment banking was higher than it had been in the fourth quarter, and there was an increase in loan demand and credit quality. Bank officials said that was partly because of new strength in the economy. J.P. Morgan is the second largest U.S. bank by assets. Meanwhile, the fourth biggest, Wells Fargo, also reported a better-than-expected first quarter. It said its profits were up 13% from the year before. The bank said that was largely because of a big increase in its mortgage banking results. Jim Zaroli, NPR News, New York.
The White House says the president and the first lady paid more than $160,000 in federal taxes last year. The president's income return shows an adjusted gross income of about $790,000. About half of the Obama's income comes from his presidential salary. The rest is from book sales. The returns also show the Obamas made $172,000 in charitable contributions. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 68 points at 12,918. The Nasdaq Composite is down 35 points at 3,020. This is NPR. Two Oklahoma men are being charged with murder and hate crimes for an Easter weekend shooting spree that left three people dead. Police say 19-year-old Jake England and 33-year-old Alvin Watts have confessed. All of the victims were black. England's father was killed 2 years ago by a black man, and police say the shootings may have been to avenge his father's death. A British police detective is suing Rupert Murdoch's Times of London for hacking into his email and exposing him as the writer of an anonymous police blog. Larry Miller reports that he was subsequently disciplined by his force and ordered to stop his award-winning blogging.
In the legal action brought by Richard Horton, a detective with the Lancashire Police Force, the Times is cited for breach of confidence, misuse of private information, and deceit. Horton is seeking damages, which, if he's successful, could be substantial. Horton was revealed as the writer of a police blog after a Times reporter hacked into his emails 3 years ago. Horton sought a high court injunction to remain anonymous, but the Times withheld the information that his emails were hacked and he was exposed. The Times has since admitted the hacking and apologized. Horton's lawyer is also representing three people who will be the first phone hacking victims to sue the Murdoch organization in U.S. courts. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Osama bin Laden's three widows and their children will be heading to Saudi Arabia after they complete a prison sentence in Pakistan for entering that country illegally. The defense attorney for the women say Pakistani officials will deport the bin Laden sometime next week. Two of the women are from Saudi Arabia. One is from Yemen. They've been held in captivity since the U.S. Navy SEALs killed Osama bin Laden last May. I'm Jim Howard, NPR News in Washington.